That involves the Rothbergs and the Trilateral Commission and all the different things that the John Birch Society really started. So you've never seen me speculate on wild things that are in the background of a lot of theology that's false. But there is one thing that I consider to be the greatest hoax that's ever pulled off on the American public that I'm certain I'm correct about, and yet it's such a fantastic hoax, and so many different people are involved, that I'm afraid it will never be uncovered. And so I'd like to show you again something. I asked Kay about it, and Kay said, well, I must have slept through it. Well, she's not in here again this morning, so she'll probably sleep through this again if she were here. But I want to show you this because I believe it's important, and it's something that I know I'm correct about because time has proven that I was correct. Now, you all know that I have talked about the five signs of His coming for 26 years. And you know that the Lord, on the Mount of Olives, looking across at the Temple Mount, gave the Olivet Discourse. He said, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. Matthew 24:7-8. I've shown you how the earthquakes have followed a woman's birth pains. I've shown you how the pestilence and famine have done the same. And it is the first time in history that all three of these phenomena have done exactly the same thing. He said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. As I pointed out many times, there's no way under heaven you could ever use these three phenomena, earthquakes, famine, and pestilence, to say that Jesus was coming, because we have always had earthquakes, we've always had famines, and we've always had pestilences. If Jesus had not used this one single God-breathed word, sorrows, which is Oden, meaning a woman's birth pains, there's no way you could have ever been able to tell when this was going to occur. Now, the word sorrows, you can look in any lexicon you want to look in. It doesn't matter who put it out, what church group, what religious denomination, when it was published, how big it is, how old it is, how modern it is. It doesn't matter. They'll all give you the same definition. The God-breathed word for sorrows is Oden. Spyros Odiates, the best-known modern-day scholar, says referring to travail or pain of childbirth. Bullinger, the Old Testament scholar of the last century, said of pain, especially of a woman in travail. I should say the 19th century because we're now in the 21st. Just as when a woman experiences her first genuine birth pang, everyone knows that more will follow, more and more with the passage of time, ever increasing numerically per unit time. Never in history had earthquakes done that until this century, sometime around 1967. Neither had famines and pestilences done that in this century. The last half of this century, they began all three to increase like a woman's birth pangs. None of them had ever done that in all of history. They had always been erratic up and down in their currents. So Matthew is literally saying there will be more and more earthquakes ever increasing numerically per unit time. I've shown you those statistics so many times, you can probably do this better than I can, and you've certainly memorized them, and they're official government statistics from the U.S. Department of Commerce and also from the U.S. Geological Survey. Matthew says there are more and more pestilences ever increasing numerically per unit time. I've shown you that, I've proven it to you from reliable government statistics that are given, and they are absolutely correct. Matthew says there will be more and more famines ever increasing per unit time. I've shown you how they have increased. I've shown you why they've increased and why they must continue to increase. So I've covered these three phenomena quite thoroughly. But this phenomena I covered here in this church some, 18 years ago. And when I covered it a couple of times, and I haven't talked about it since. He also said that along with earthquakes, famines, and pestilences, there would be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. The word heaven is Uranos that is used there. And these are signs in the earth and in the heavens. I told you they were volcanic eruptions because they were dramatically on the increase. They were fearful sights and fearful signs that appeared in the first heaven, our atmosphere, and that they would ever be increasing with the passage of time. I told you that eventually they would destroy large segments of the ozone layer, and during the tribulation period they would cause noisome, grievous boils and sores to break out because the ozone layer is all that protects us from direct ultraviolet radiation from the sun. Now, I have shown you how the earth is constructed. I have shown you how these tectonic plates along these red boundaries produce earthquakes. I have shown you how along these red lines they also produce volcanic eruptions. I've gone into that so many times you could reiterate this as well as I can. I've shown you how during the tribulation period along all these cracks in the crust of the earth, this one being the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, you're going to have tremendous volcanic eruptions. I've shown you how God constructed the atmosphere, how He put a tropopause level there, that once you mechanically blow something through it and it gets up there, it stays for prolonged periods of time. I told you the ozone layer was being destroyed not by chlorofluorocarbons, but by actual penetration by volcanic eruptions and putting into the atmosphere a whole bevy of different types of particles that break off the oxygen molecule of the three attached together to form ozone and convert it back to oxygen so it will not shield ultraviolet radiation. I've been through all this. I've talked to you so many times. I don't want to bore you about it. I've gone into meticulous detail, and I will in just a few moments. I showed how gradually during the tribulation period, a great cloud shield would be built around the entire earth, and that is why when Jesus comes, he will break through this cloud shield. And I also showed you how God has constructed the atmosphere, and through refraction, and all these different things that I showed you, that God put as laws in the atmosphere, when Jesus comes, every eye will see him simultaneously. Now, for those of you that are here for the first time, you probably think I'm a madman, and you say, oh, where does he get all that? Well, I'm at least going to take time and go back and cover the details of one particular aspect of this having to do with the ozone layer. More than 20 years ago, because of the ever-increasing number of volcanic eruptions, I told people that the ozone layer at the South Pole was being created by the molecules blown through the tropopause by these eruptions. But the greenies said it had to be all the chlorofluorocarbons being released by Freon and other human activity. Vice President Gore, he wasn't vice president then, but the now Vice President Gore backed the greenies. That's an environmentalist group. And even wrote a book saying the chlorofluorocarbons were the problem. They are not. Soon it was placed in all science books from the fifth grade upwards. Now it's a stated fact. Now it's accepted by all science teachers as the absolute truth. And you try to talk to your science teacher about this, he'll say, what could a preacher possibly know about this? The problem is he's been brainwashed. He's been brainwashed from the time he entered into the fifth grade. He's been brainwashed all the way through college, and he's passing it on through his students, and it's totally, absolutely incorrupt. Soon it was placed in all science books from the fifth grade upward. Now it is accepted by all science teachers as the absolute truth. But there is no way under heaven that it could be true. All I can do is tell you it can't be true and show you why. I can't book City Hall. This is likely to be the greatest hoax in history, and yet it will never be exposed because of the many billions of tax dollars that have been thrown down a rat hole with the knowledge of wealthy firms and paid-off politicians, and because of the unwillingness of scientists to acknowledge they made a mistake. I believe it to be the greatest and most effective hoax of the 20th century. The greenies, environmentalists, politicians, and wealthy firms got scientists hooked with grants for scientific experiments, and the scientists wanted that money so badly that they went along with a bunch of things, and now virtually the whole scientific community, there are exceptions, believe this. At least they put it out, because now it would be a public disgrace to them to admit how wrong they were. And so they gave grants for scientific experiments, and they gave validation to the hoax. The ozone layer was supposed to shrink in 1985. I told you in 1980 it wouldn't. In 1985 it was bigger. They said it was simply because you had residual effects of what we had pumped into there over a long period of time. That's an ungodly lie. It isn't true. Can't have any validation whatsoever. But because most people don't do well in science in high school, everybody believed it. Then they said by 1988, the hole would practically diminish. In 1988, it was larger. Then they said, well, by 1994, all this residual stuff will be out of the atmosphere, and you'll see it depleted. Now, look, we've done away with Freon. Every time you go to the service station, you have to pay triple what you used to have to pay. We've done away with all these different things that were supposed to ban it and stop the depletion of the ozone layer. They said once we started this, it would immediately start to shrink. Now they're lying like a pack of dogs because they don't want to admit they were wrong. And I told you this thing was going to keep increasing. Well, it didn't decrease or shrink in 1994. Then 1998 came along. They said it would decrease by then. It didn't decrease. Now they're saying it'll be 2050. You've been brainwashed too. Now, normally, I just preach on biblical subjects. And this is a biblical subject. And normally I don't go off the deep end, as most people look at going off the deep end. But this is one place I'm going to, and the only validation I can give you is simply this. I am a scientist. I know how the earth was put together. I'm also a God-called preacher. I know who put it together. And I know for an absolute irrefutable fact that you cannot get the actual chlorofluorocarbons to rise and go up here into this level where the actual ozone exists. You can't do it. Unless you mechanically blow up through volcanic eruptions. They also contain chlorine molecules, hydrogen chloride molecules, nitric oxide molecules, and sulfuric oxide molecules. That's what's destroying the ozone layer. This is a very recent release. It came out September 7th, 2000. You can't get much more current than that. Largest ever ozone hole observed over Antarctica by NASA. This is the year 2000. A NASA, National Aeronautical and Space Administration, a NASA spectrometer has detected an Antarctic ozone hole that is three times the size of the United States, the largest such hole ever observed. The hole expanded to a record size of approximately 11 million square miles, that's 28.3 million square kilometers, on September 3rd, 2000. The previous record was about 27.2 million square kilometers on September 19th, 1998. This is what is going to fulfill, to a large extent, what you see here in Revelation 16, 2, 8, and 9. That's why it's a biblical thing. That's why I believe the fearful sights and great signs we're seeing now from volcanic eruptions will eventually create a gigantic size hole that will stretch all over most of the southern hemisphere. And the first went and poured out his vial, Revelation 16, 2, 8, and 9, poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. That is what causes melanoma cancer, breakout on the skin, exposure to ultraviolet radiation. And upon them which worshipped the mark of the beast. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. Now look at Revelation 16 and 8 and 9. And the fourth poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given them to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat. The highest color spectrum radiation of ultraviolet is what creates and generates the most heat and is what ultraviolet radiation consists of. That is precisely what this is talking about. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. God is going to use his own creation to fulfill his own prophecies by his own power, and when the tribulation period is finished, there will not be any question as to who did it. This is what it looks like down over Antarctica. Here is Antarctica, a continent. It has a volcanic eruption right here in this right here, Mount Erebus. Mount Erebus sits right here, and it has a volcano on it, and that's one of the things that's contributing to this. It's not chlorofluorocarbons released by different types of prions and systems and hairsprays. That's a vicious, ungodly lie. Now, I have to answer for what I'm telling you at the judgment seat of Christ, and I'm well aware of it, and this is a fantastic hoax. And many of you have been brainwashed, and the American public's been brainwashed, and science teachers in high school have been brainwashed. And when you try to talk to them about this, they don't know their left foot from their right. And I'm going to show you why what I'm telling you has to be the truth. You see here these penguins on Antarctica. Up here you see the African continent with the typical African animals. Around here you see Australia with the kangaroos. Over here you see the extreme southern tip of South America. This hole just keeps expanding and keeps expanding. When this hole was first observed back in the 70s, I wrote my first book in 1976. I put it in there. I told people. They said I was crazy. Look, I've been here for 26 years. You know when I'm wrong about something, I just freely admit it, eat the crow and swallow my pride. But I'm going to show you why this is something that I can't be wrong about, and you don't have to be a scientist to understand what I'm going to show you in about two shakes of a sheep's tail. This is mission control. How bad is the overrun problem, guys? We aren't taking off these spacesuits when we get home. This was the ozone hole in 1983. You see it here in blue over Antarctica. Up here you see the southern coast of South America. Notice how it was just over Antarctica and was not affecting any other continent. Now notice how in 1985 it begins to expand. It gets larger. Notice in 1991, after the Pinatubo eruption, it begins to actually spread up toward the southern tip of South America. It has now covered the southern tip of South America. It has covered segments of Australia. And you are seeing more and more instances of skin cancer, melanoma cancer, breaking out because of ultraviolet radiation penetrating through the ozone layer, which protects men normally. But when these particles from volcanic eruptions go up and mix with the molecules there, they break off one of the oxygen molecules on the ozone and turn it back into oxygen, and it can't shield you from ultraviolet radiation. When the Pinatubo eruption went off, at first it didn't seem to be too bad. It went off right here in the Philippine Islands. You can see that it began to spread across in this direction. Now remember, we're up in the stratosphere. We're up where the ozone is, above the tropopause level. In this particular zone, the wind blows across from this direction to this direction. It blows from east to west. Down below the tropopause level, in what we call the troposphere, it blows from west to east. But you can see how the cloud began to spread across here. This is week four. This is week six. You can see how it continued to spread across all the way over into the Pacific. You can see by week six, it had spread all the way across and had a band down around the equator. And you can see how it had affected that entire area. That is when you begin to have the tremendous expansion of this particular zone that we call the ozone layer. Now, the first book I ever wrote, this diagram was in it. This was in 1976. And I showed people exactly what happened. This is a scientific principle. This is something that is absolutely irrefutable. Volcanic eruptions have hydrogen chloride gas. They have chlorine gas. They have nitric oxide gas. This is not something that you can say, well, Brother McElmurray, that's just your opinion. They have all of these gases. And when they blow up through the tropopause level, they blow into this area, and they start to break down the ozone layer. And in the very first book I ever wrote, I made this statement, put this diagram in it. It's figure number 11. The mixing of hydrogen chloride gas from this volcanic smoke with the ozone layer in the stratosphere causes a breakdown of the ozone layer. Now, Don Johnson is a meteorologist. And Don can tell you that curve I put up there for the temperature is what you find in all standard meteorological textbooks. You have a gradual decrease in temperature from the surface up to the tropopause. Then you begin to have an increase till you get up to the stratopause. Then it begins to decrease. Once you put this temperature inversion in here, then whenever a volcanic eruption occurs and blows smoke up in here, it takes forever to get out. It also destroys the ozone particles. This isn't something that's just a nice idea and a theory and a hypothesis that I'm putting to you. This is scientifically based. This is the way the atmosphere works. This is the way God made it. Now, volcanic eruptions began to show a tremendous increase way back there. This is the 1982 Reader's Digest Almanac and Yearbook. From 1850 to 1900, across the surface of the Earth, there was only one major volcanic disaster. From 1900 to 1950, there were five major volcanic disasters. That was a new record in a 50-year period. From 1950 just to 1982, in a 32-year period, was still 18 years to go before the year 2000, we had had 14 major volcanic disasters. I made this chart up back in 1983. Now, I put a question mark up there. But from 1950 to 1982, in that 32-year period, we'd had 14 major volcanic disasters. So I still had 18 years to go before I could compare it to these two previous time spans. What happened between then and there? We have had over 20 major volcanic disasters. Nothing like this ever happened in history. Not only are the earthquakes increasing, but so are the volcanic eruptions. Now, God owns, operates, and controls the earth. He owns, operates, and controls this tectonic plate structure. He moves these crustal plates of the earth and produces earthquakes and volcanic eruptions. That's what's been causing this fantastic increase in earthquake activity. Volcanoes of the World, Science, Volume 264, 13 May 1994. From 1797 to 1848, a 50-year period, there were 22 volcanic eruptions. These are the average number of volcanic eruptions per year. Average volcanic eruptions per year. 22 in the 50-year period from 1798 to 1848. That's one plus per month. From 1848 to 1898, the next 50-year period, there were 33 average number of volcanic eruptions in that 50-year period. That's two plus per month. 1898 to 1948 in that 50-year period, they increased to 43 average per year. That's three plus per month. From 1948, when Israel became a nation, to 1994, in that 46-year period, they increased to 57 just in a 46-year period, 57 per month. That's 57 during that average per year, 57 average per year during that 46-year period from 1948 to 1994. That's 4 plus per month. After Moshe Da'an and the Israeli troops took back the Temple Mound in 1967 for the first time in almost 1,900 years since it was overrun by Titus in AD 70 to fulfill a prophecy Jesus uttered 40 years before. In from 1967 to 2000, in that 33-year period, we have had an average of 60 plus per month. That's 5 plus per month. So there is no question the volcanic eruptions are increasing. And in my estimation, there is absolutely no question as to what they are doing. What I'm showing you is based on chemistry. It is based on meteorology. It is based on scientific fact. Here you see a volcanic eruption. We know for an absolute fact that every time there's a volcanic eruption with a vertical blast, it blows this stuff up above the tropopause level. We also know that it stays there for prolonged periods of time because there's no moisture above the tropopause level for the different particles to have moisture condense on them and become heavy enough to fall out. That's not a theory, that's a fact. We know every time there's a volcanic eruption, you can see it blown up here. You have nitrogen, chlorine, sulfur, and carbon blown straight up. The chlorine molecules go up into the tropopause, above the tropopause level, into the actual stratosphere and the ozone layer, and they begin to interreact with the actual ozone molecules, and they begin to break them off. You say, well, that's an interesting theory. That is not a theory. That is an absolute irrefutable fact, because that is the way God chemically made the different elements and the way they react with one another. Now, volcano theory cast out on spray can ban. Did I come up with this all by myself? No, not really. I got it from a very great scientist, a man who was not, as far as I know, a Christian, but a man who began to discover these things, and once he discovered them, I knew, because I'd been following the volcanic eruptions longer than he had, exactly what he was saying was the truth. Volcano theory cast doubt on spray can ban. This was before the eruption of Mount St. Helens. Explosive volcanoes such as Mount St. Helens may damage the protective ozone layer of the atmosphere, according to a study by a scientist believed killed while observing the eruption in Washington State. The report in the July 25th issue of Science Magazine was written by Dr. David A. Johnson, a U.S. Geological Survey scientist missing and presumed dead since the first eruption of Mount St. Helens on May the 18th. Ozone is a form of oxygen that shields the planet from the sun's deadly ultraviolet rays. Some scientists fear that if more of this radiation reaches the Earth, it could lead to widespread increases in skin cancer and possible climatic changes. In the report written last year and revised in January, Johnson said earlier projections greatly underestimated the amount of chlorine in volcanic material, particularly from those around the Pacific Basin. Analysis of trapped gas pockets in volcanic gases and other material indicates molten magmas may contain more than 0.5 to 1% chlorine, which exceeds by 20 to 40 times or more the earlier estimates upon which the volcanic atmospheric impact has been estimated, Johnson wrote. This means that the amount of chlorine emitted into the atmosphere by volcanoes could be equal to between 17% and more than 100% of the 1975 world production of chlorine and fluorocarbon chemicals, he said. He said it wasn't the fluorocarbon chemicals, it was the volcanic eruptions, and I wholeheartedly agree. He said if these numbers prove correct, they could bring into question the usefulness of efforts to limit production and use of fluorocarbons. These chemicals are used as refrigerants and cooling systems and as propellants and aerosol spray cans. We've thrown billions and billions of dollars down the drain for nothing. Johnson said in his report that volcanic explosions powerful enough to penetrate the stratosphere have been occurring about once a year in recent times. He noticed it. I noticed it before this. And this is something that when I read this report, I knew what was causing the breakdown of the ozone layer. It would take large eruptions such as Mount St. Helens to shoot chlorine high enough to reach the ozone layer, because chlorine from volcanoes is in the form of hydrogen chloride. This compound is readily water soluble and doesn't rise that high on its own because rain washes it out, Johnson said. Now I'm going to show you the reasons that why I'm telling you about this. I know to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. First of all, they say, the scientists, say that the chlorofluorocarbon gases, CFC gases, do chlorofluorocarbon gases rise up to the ozone layer? Do they? They're going to have to get up there in order to affect the ozone layer. Molecular weight of a standard atmospheric air sample at sea level. And Don Johnson and I are meteorologists. We went to the same schools together. And so Don knows what an air sample weighs at sea level. An air sample at sea level weighs 28.966. These are dimensionless units. 28.966. Now, in order for a gas to rise through that, it has to be lighter. So let's just look at some gases that do rise through it. The molecular rate of helium. It's 4.003, which is lighter than 28.966. It's lighter than an air sample at sea level. So it rises. Molecular weight of hydrogen. Hydrogen in the atmosphere is lighter than a standard atmospheric air sample at sea level. The atmospheric air sample at sea level is 28.966. Molecular weight of hydrogen is 2.016, so hydrogen does rise, it's lighter. Now let's look at the molecular weight of Freon 12, which is what we were mostly using. Molecular weight of Freon 12, 120.910. 120.910. Now you can see that 120.910 is considerably heavier than 28.966. It's almost four times heavier. So naturally, Freon 12 does not rise. You couldn't get it up there. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, that's just your opinion. No, this is not opinion. This is very frustrating for me because it's such a tremendous hoax, and people have been so brainwashed that they look at these and they say, well, that's just an idea, an opinion. That's not an idea. That's not an opinion. That's a fact, because Freon 12 will not rise. Get out there and spray a can of it sometime and watch it go down to the ground. You don't see it rise. It's too heavy to rise. Are chlorofluorocarbon gases water-soluble? Does the water vapor and precipitation in the atmosphere wash them out? Even if they could rise, which they can't, but even if they could, I want you to know that precipitation would wash them out before they could ever get up there, but they don't even rise, but just assuming they did. Freon 11 through Freon 115. Freon 11 through Freon 115 are all water soluble. The only one that isn't water soluble is Freon 21. So even if it could rise, which it can't, the atmosphere would wash it out. So you've got a double protective system there. How do the weights of chlorofluorocarbon gases compare with the molecular weight of a standard atmospheric sample of gas? All right, I'm going to show you and prove to you that these chlorofluorocarbon gases can't be getting up there from the surface. All chlorofluorocarbon gases are heavier than the gas which makes up our atmosphere. So when you have one of these volcanic eruptions, it actually blows these gases up there, and it's the volcanic eruption that does it, because the gases cannot rise of their own volition. Right here is molecular weight of gases at sea level. Weight of a standard air sample, 28.966. 28.966 is right here, this line you see going right through here, in orange. This is hydrogen, helium. You can see they're both lighter, so they'll rise through it. But look, the atmosphere is right here. That's the standard sample. You have all these different freons, and every one of them weigh considerably more than the standard atmospheric sample. They can't rise. And scientists are coming up and they're giving you double talk and they're lying like a pack of dogs. Why? Because they got hooked in on this. Scientists are no different from you and I. They have carnal natures. Most of them are lost. Some of them are saved. But they want moolah. They want the money. So when this was first perpetrated, the scientists got involved and did some studies to show that chlorofluorocarbons do eat ozone. They do. There's no question of that. But you have to get them up there to do it. When I wrote my first book, this is the diagram that I showed you. And I showed you that the ozone was being eaten up by these volcanic eruptions. The mixing of hydrogen chloride gas from this volcanic smoke with the ozone in the stratosphere causes a breakdown of the ozone layer. Now, we can't do anything about this. I'm not asking you to do anything about it. You can't. Because this is so heavily consolidated, and there are so many different factors involved, that there's no way under heaven this will ever be corrected. So you might as well just live with it. And when Vice President Gore gets in, he's going to throw a lot of more environmental stuff in there that does not belong, because he was the one who really got the green. He started on this. Now let's take a look at reason number three, why I know that it cannot be the chlorofluorocarbons from Freon and different aerosols that are doing it. Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out. And what I'm showing you is cold, hard scientific fact. But scientists don't want to admit this because they've gotten billions of dollars in grants from the government to prove contrary to it, and it would be a public embarrassment to them. Are there scientists that agree with me? Oh, yes, quite a few. But they're deeply suppressed because the government, under no circumstances, will this ever be exposed. Physical transport of atmospheric gases. Atmospheric gases migrate from the equator to the poles in both the northern and southern hemisphere. Now, Don Johnson and I are both meteorologists. We both went to the same schools. We both looked at the same diagram. We both were certified. We both did basically the same work. Both of us looked at this diagram of the Earth. We were not the only ones looking at it. All meteorologists look at it. We're taught in standard meteorological textbooks that the equator is here, and that air circulates in patterns all the way back up to the North Pole. It goes from equator northward and settles at the North Pole. And that's correct. We were taught that in basic meteorology. Even Byers' old text had it in there. So did Finn Dyson's. Now, we're also taught that from the equator southward, the air migrates up to the South Pole and settles there. Now, here's my question. If 75% of all chlorofluorocarbons are released in the industrialized northern hemisphere, and that's a fact, you just think about it, this is where all the industry is. This is where the chlorofluorocarbons are released by aerosols and freon. This is where most of the cars are. And that's true. That's 74%, even the scientists that teach this incorrectly will admit that's true. Then why, in heaven's name, don't we have an ozone hole at the northern hemisphere? You want to listen to a song and dance routine? Listen, they'll give it to you. They'll say, oh, I'll tell you what, it's the Rio Bonero effect that has caused the creation of certain unspecified dimensions in our atmospheric hemisphere that causes the oblate spheroid of the Earth to vibrate mildly in certain areas that would cause a precipitating out of the various aspects of the uncontrolled emotions. And they go through this junk. And people sit there in science class and say, oh, isn't that wonderful? and they're just full of absolute baloney. Now, there's never been a hole at the North Pole. Why not? Because it's the volcanic eruptions that are occurring, that are causing it, not the chlorofluorocarbons. So why did the hole appear down here at the South Pole? And why does it keep expanding? And why has it never appeared up here? If this is where all the freon is, you say, well, that sure seems simple, Brother McElmurray. You must be covering something up, and you're not covering what they teach correctly. That's what they'll tell you down here at the high school. But I say, okay, just show me where it's wrong. Well, it's and they do the song and dance routine, but they don't know how to do it as well as the people that have perpetrated this hoax. If the chlorofluorocarbons were destroying the ozone layer, then the hole would have appeared first in the northern hemisphere over the North Pole, but it appeared down here. Atmospheric gases migrate from the equator to the poles in both the northern and southern hemisphere. That's a fact. But there's still no hole in the northern hemisphere. Why not? Reason number four. Atmospheric gases migrate from the equator to the poles in both the northern and southern hemisphere. 74% of all chlorofluorocarbons are released in the industrialized northern hemisphere, yet there is no North Pole ozone hole. Most volcanoes, now take a look, we're in the southern hemisphere. Most volcanoes are located in the southern hemisphere. There is an active volcano in Antarctica, Erebus, and a vast chain between Chile and Argentina. That's where your ozone hole appeared. If the chlorofluorocarbons were destroying the ozone layer, then the hole would have appeared first in the northern hemisphere over the North Pole. But it appeared down here in the south because that's where the volcanic eruptions occur. Now, let me show you something. It's very simple. It's not difficult to understand, and I think it'll make my point. This is figure 3-8, distribution of the world's active volcanoes. Okay, this is where the volcanoes are, the active volcanoes at the present time. Notice here, we're going to see little red X's. Here's northern Greenland, Baffin Island. Over here's Shetland Islands. And over here is the northern part of the Soviet Union. We're coming south. Okay, now, there are the first three volcanic eruptions. We've almost gotten down to the southern part of Greenland. We're zeroing in on Iceland. And still no volcanic eruptions all the way across. Now we're going to come on down to right here, and we're south of Iceland. We've now got most of Canada exposed, northern Canada. We've got the Kamchatka Peninsula just starting to be exposed. We go all the way across to northern Russia, and you've got 5 active volcanoes. That's why there's no hole in the northern hemisphere, because you just don't have enough volcanoes to do it. Now let's go on down south. See this blue line? That's 50 degrees north. Okay, now let's go on down here, and let's go down to the south of the equator, and let's go down to this blue line here. Now remember, you've got 5 volcanoes north of this line. We're now going down into North Africa, and we're going to go south of this line. This is equal distance, and we're going to take a look at the number of volcanoes down there. Take a look at it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. That was at Erebus. 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48. 48. That's why the hole appeared first over Antarctica. You say, well, Brother McElmurray, that's so plain and simple. Why can't they see it? They can. But they don't want to see it because it would cost Al Gore the election. If this were ever proven, and enough people would get off their high horse and admit they'd been taken in, there's no way he could win the election because he's the one that basically perpetrated this. Every time you have a volcanic eruption, this is not theory, it's a fact. You have chlorine molecules that blow up out of the volcano. You have hydrogen chlorine molecules, you have sulfur oxide molecules, and you have nitric oxide molecules. This is an ozone molecule. Now, normally, when you take in a breath, you're breathing O2. O2, that's a molecule. 2 oxygen molecules joined together, and that's what we call oxygen. It will not shield from ultraviolet radiation, but it allows us to live on this planet when we breathe it. There's a very strong bond between 2 oxygen molecules. Now, God has added up in the area where the ozone is created a 3rd oxygen molecule, but this is a very weak bond here. This chlorine molecule can flip this off quite easily. You say, well, that's theoretical. No, that's an absolute fact. That's the way God made the molecules. This is scientific principle. It's based on chemistry. I teach chemistry and physics. And so it's a fact. It's not a theory. The hydrogen chloride can break this molecule off. It has a stronger attraction to this molecule. It can break this bond. It can't break this one, but it can break this one. So can the sulfur oxide and the nitric oxide. God made the atmosphere, and God will use the atmosphere to fulfill his own prophecy by his own power. I wish there was some way this could be exposed, but quite frankly, there isn't any way. I tried. I wrote, I tried, and I just got ran into a steel door. Now, this was the Elkhorn eruption that occurred in 1982. I hoped when this eruption occurred that they would finally admit that they were wrong and they would do some switcheroo. But I should have realized human nature will not allow that. So when the Elkhorn eruption occurred, it shot this up above the tropopause level. Now, once you blow it above the tropopause level, there's very little moisture there to condense on it to make the particles heavy enough to fall back out. And so they float around, led by the winds, driven by the winds, and they spread out, and they're just like Pac-Man. They bum, 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 bum. They just love to eat up those little ozone molecules and clip off that third molecule. That's not a theory, that's a fact. Now, when the Elkhorn eruption occurred, this was Mexico down here, Yucatan Peninsula, Mexico, and here, United States. This cloud came up that you see here and spread across, and it really destroyed an awful lot of ozone. So I thought, well, they're going to have to admit it now. But they didn't admit it. So I thought in 1991, when the Pinatubo eruption went off in the Philippines, that surely they would admit it, under a cloud. The most serious long-term effect of the cloud is likely to be increased destruction of the ozone layer. I thought, wow, they're finally going to admit it. The aerosol particles in Pinatubo's cloud caused the chlorine from man-made hydrocarbons to become more rapid. They lied. They just flat lied. They couldn't come out and admit it's the volcanic eruptions. Yet there was so much scientific evidence of the contribution of volcanic eruptions almost totally causing this that they had to do something. So here's what they said. The aerosol particles in Pinatubo's cloud caused the chlorine from man-made chlorofluorocarbons to become more reactive. See what they did? They said, well, yes, volcanoes are doing some of this, but what they're doing, they're just making these things that man's putting out more active. That is a blasphemous lie. That is not true. But you've got City Hall involved in this, and there's no way under heaven this is ever going to be exposed, no matter how hard it's tried. And people think I'm a madman. So this is my Sunday kick before I go to California. Don't worry, I won't turn on like this again. Within the cloud from Elkhorn's eruption, ozone was depleted by 10% to 15%. It did it in Elkhorn's eruption, and they wouldn't admit it. By the time Pinatubo came along, they had to do something. Finally, somebody out in California that didn't know any better, ozone layer hits new low in northern hemisphere. This was 1993. Has plummeted to new unexpected lows over the northern hemisphere. They told us this thing would be over. They said, quit using Freon. Quit using aerosol spray. We've thrown billions and billions and billions of dollars down a tube trying to do this, and it hadn't done one bit of good because they do not rise. Has plummeted a new unexpected lows over the northern hemisphere. They didn't expect it. The researchers who report their findings in the journal Science, and I noticed, said the 1991 eruption of Mount Pinatubo in the Philippines released tiny particles to speed the ozone layer's destruction. But you better believe they didn't carry that in the next issue. And you better believe it was hushed up. And you better believe all of a sudden that articles like that stopped being written. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, why haven't they shot you and killed you? Because nobody's paying any attention to me. And that's their whole purpose behind this. So I'm not all that interested in it from that standpoint. At least 192, now this just came from somebody way back yonder which tried to expose it, and they got canned too. At least 192 chemical reactions occur between substances in the upper stratosphere along with 48 different identifiable photochemical processes all linked through complex feedback mechanisms that are only partly understood. Selecting a few reactions. This is what happened out at Berkeley in California. This is what caused all this. This is what the Greenies got these scientists to do. This is what Al Gore got involved in. They did an experiment in a lab on the surface and said chlorofluorocarbons chew up ozone molecules. Good heavens, orangutan would have known that. That was already known. But you're talking about experiments conducted on the ground. How are you going to get them up there? Everybody knows that. Everybody knew that before they did the experiment. Selecting a few reactions brought about in a laboratory and claiming this is what happens in the stratosphere where it has never been measured. might be a way of getting to a predetermined conclusion, but it isn't science. That's exactly what they did. Yes, high concentrations of chlorine are, to be exact, chlorine monoxide, but all chlorine atoms look alike. There is absolutely nothing to link the chlorine found over the Antarctic with chlorofluorocarbons from the other end of the world. What the purveyors of that story omitted to mention was that the measuring station at McMurdo Sound is located 15 kilometers downwind from Mount Erebus, an active volcano venting 100 to 200 tons of chlorine every day, and that in 1983 it averaged 1,000 tons per day. Might that just have more to do with it than refrigerators in New York or air conditioners in Atlanta? I guarantee you that's what's causing it. There's no question of it. Now, all of a sudden, they begin to wonder, what's causing this? Well, here's Antarctica here. Up here is South America. And the hole gets bigger and bigger and bigger. The large, oval-shaped MARV area at left is the ozone hole, which stretches from the South Pole to the tip of South America at top. It's 1994. And still, there's no ozone hole over the North Pole. But they kept telling us it would appear. Finally, they gave up. Now they keep saying, well, at any time now it's going to start to decline. It hasn't even started to decline because it's not caused by chlorofluorocarbons from freon and aerosols. It's caused by volcanic eruptions. Volcanic bite out of Antarctic zone. Here's another scientist that got his licks in, but believe me, he didn't write many more articles on this. Scientific ozone loss also occurred between 10 and 12 kilometers. Depletions began at the same time particles from the eruptions of Chile's Hudson volcano reached Antarctica. Remember those southern, all those volcanoes down the coastline of Chile? Depletions of the ozone begin at the same time particles from the eruption of Chile's Hudson volcano reached Antarctica, fostering conditions that allowed pollutants to break apart ozone molecules. But he didn't write many more articles. Anytime a scientist takes the break and starts to try and expose this, he gets canned or something terrible happens to him. Why I believe that chlorofluorocarbon gases are not the culprits responsible for the depletion of the ozone layer. I don't mean somebody kills him, but all of a sudden he's somewhere else. Why I believe that chlorofluorocarbon gases are not the culprits responsible for the depletion of the ozone layer. Number one, why I believe that chlorofluorocarbon gases are not the culprits responsible for the depletion of the ozone layer. 74% of all man-made CFCs are released in the northern hemisphere. The vertical circulation patterns of the Earth demand that the first ozone hole should have appeared over the North Pole. It did not. Reason number two, the CFC gases are heavier than the atmosphere into which they are supposed to be rising, hence they cannot rise to the ozone level of their own volition. Reason number three, CFCs are washed out of the atmosphere by the precipitation cycle of the tropopause because they can reach the ozone layer. Reason number four, CFC gases, chlorofluorocarbon gases, without the direct help of volcanic activity cannot penetrate the restricting worldwide temperature inversion, which begins well below the ozone layer at the tropopause level. Now, let's look at that from the other side. Why do I believe that volcanic eruptions are directly responsible for the depletion of the ozone layer? Why do I believe that volcanic eruptions are directly responsible for the depletion of the ozone layer? Reason number one, the rate increase in major eruptions since 1950 is four times greater than at any other time in history. Reason number two, most eruptions are occurring in the southern hemisphere, thereby causing the ozone hole to appear first over the Antarctic rather than over the North Pole. Reason number three, volcanic eruptions forcefully blow sulfur oxides, nitric oxides, chlorine oxides, and other ozone depleting gases vertically through the tropopause layer into the ozone layer, bypassing much of the Earth's circulation and hydrological patterns. Reason number four, there is an active volcano in the Antarctic. Now, absolutely nothing. There is reason number five. The ozone layer has slowly extended northward over the southern tip of South America, where a thick concentration of active volcanoes exist today. I wish I had time to go through the whole part of this and spend more time on it. But finally, in a scientific journal, back in January of 1994, I'll simply read these conclusions. From these results, it is concluded that the ozone depletion potentials related to the presence of the chlorofluorocarbon groups and hydrofluorocarbons are negligibly small. The chemical reactions involving chlorofluorocarbons lead to negligent small oxygen depletion potentials. Therefore, we conclude that hydrogen fluorofluorocarbons and hydrogen chlorine fluorofluorocarbons contain chlorofluorocarbon groups that are no more harmful to the stratospheric ozone layer than those that do not. So the greatest hoax in the world will never be exposed. I've watched this ozone layer, the hole, for a long time. 1983, this was the size. 1985, this was the size. And in 1991, this was the size. They assured us by this time in 1985, it would definitely start to shrink. It did not. They assured us it would by 1991. It did not. They keep on assuring us, and now they've got egg all over their face, and it's terribly embarrassing. Now, agency finds record ozone depletion. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about this because I want to get to the very latest thing that I've got on here. Ozone hole larger than Europe, covers 9 million square mile area. This was back in the middle 90s. So it was supposed to stop, but it hasn't. U.S. Department of Commerce, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, moderate to very large explosive eruptions in 5...